it'll have enormous implications for Africa. There's a number of countries that depend heavily on exports of oil and natural gas to keep their economies going. Nigeria, Angola, Congo Brazzaville, South Sudan, Equatorial Guinea, Chad, and so on. And these countries tend to have oil that is not particularly cheap to extract.
So what does that mean?
What that means is, as demand goes down globally for petroleum, places where it's more expensive to take it out of the ground are going to see demand drop much more quickly. And the governments are going to have a lot less money, and it's going to be much harder for them to pay their bills. And they're going to have to find other ways to produce jobs and fund their governments and fund public services.
You mentioned before that mineral wealth is both a blessing and a curse when it comes to Africa. How might that also be the case when so much of the world changes over to electric vehicles from gas?
Countries that have abundant sources of so-called critical minerals, the minerals that are rising in demand as we move toward electric vehicles, they're going to see a big increase in the demand for what they mine. And that potentially means new investment, jobs, government revenues will potentially give governments the opportunity to provide more services, but also probably fund a lot more corruption and could cause political fortunes in those countries to get worse.
But there'll be lots of job loss along the way for workers in the oil fields and other places in the petroleum industry.
Well, the good thing about the minerals industry is that it tends to employ more people. And so there are going to be more people who directly benefit. And for better or worse, mining happens on land. A lot of oil extraction takes place offshore. So you're going to have both more opportunities for local peoples to benefit from new infrastructure, from jobs, from providing services to companies that are working in these areas, but also more environmental degradation and potentially more land disputes and more human rights abuses. So it's kind of a mixed picture.
You mentioned the DRC as an example.
The Democratic Republic of Congo has a long history of political instability, political repression, and is by and large a country that is not likely to spend the money well. So we should be pretty suspicious about what the larger consequences will be. And it's possible that in countries that have strong governments and where people have some ways of holding their governments accountable might benefit. They might indeed get a larger share of the proceeds. But that's a country-to-country struggle, and often it's an uphill battle for citizens to claw some of these benefits out of their governments and out of the hands of the international companies that are operating there.
Historically, there hasn't been a lot of transparency over how the money that's made from these resources, minerals and oil, etc., is spent or where it goes.
Yes, that's right. The whole extractive sector, oil, gas, minerals, timber, is clouded by very high levels of secrecy. People don't have the opportunity to find out who's really benefiting. But when the secrecy is peeled back every once in a while, we see all kinds of sweetheart deals, all kinds of corruption with these contracts. So it's not inevitable, but we need to, I think, start from a position of wariness about the benefits that flow to everyday citizens. And Africa's oil wealth has been the entry point for all kinds of pernicious foreign influences ever since the colonial era. And it's one reason why their resources are as often a curse as a blessing. They're undoubtedly a blessing for the governments and the people in power who can capture a large share of it. But it's much rarer that the people on the ground actually benefit.